This is Alumni Aloud, a podcast by Graduate Center students for Graduate Center students. In each episode, we talk with a GC graduate about their career path, the ins and outs of their current position, and the career advice they have for students. This series is sponsored by the Graduate Center's Office of Career Planning and Professional Development.
Welcome to another edition of Alumni Aloud. We are here with Dr. David Gary. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Jack. It's great to be here.
All right. So I'm just going to begin with the question that I tend to ask most guests who come on Alumni Aloud. What questions drove your research at the CUNY Graduate Center?
Sure. So at CUNY, I discovered book history while I was studying in the history department there. I took an independent study with my advisor, Martin Burke. Book history became one of the subjects of that independent study. And that sort of really grabbed my attention. It was the topic that sort of just like really reached out to me, and I was very excited to study it. But I became very interested in the history of reading. So, you know, the book history covers everything from the creation of books, the publishing of them, the distribution of them, but I'm most interested in the use of them, the sort of last stage of a book's life, I guess you could say. So the big questions I had for my dissertation involved, you know, how do readers use print to achieve their goals? And in my case, I was most interested in political goals. So I combined political history with book history by writing about an early founding father named Rufus King, who was from New York. He was a U.S. senator, 4 terms. He signed the U.S. Constitution. He was a diplomat. He was the ambassador to Great Britain at the time. He was an anti-slavery politician, and he collected this massive library, about 3,500 volumes, one of the biggest in the country at the time. Some very, very rare and extremely hard to get books. And he marked up those books. He kept notebooks about his reading. He kept scrap notes. And I sort of took all those notes and all that information about his interaction with texts and try to connect it to his politics. So when he was giving a speech, what book was he reading? Was he looking at a certain pamphlet to make an argument about slavery? Things like that. So I really wanted to know how books take an active life in a person's, or an active role in a person's life. And I'm also very interested in the history of collecting. So, you know, I was very interested in how Rufus King collected books as well. And that sort of collecting history has gone even further for me now. So I work in rare books, I work in libraries. So the notion of collecting, how things are acquired, why they're acquired, and what you do with them are just very important to me.
So you discovered this passion for a history of books, a history of reading, how books are used politically, and you focused in on Rufus King, a founding father from New York, and his sort of political career and how he used books to push forward the policies that he was supportive of. So you had this passion, and you kind of expanded it into collections as well. So how libraries collect books. So this really became important in your career. So when did you first make the decision to pursue a career in librarianship? What steps did you take along your path to end up as an associate director of collections?
Yeah, sure. So when I started at the Graduate Center in 2005, my thought was I would be a history professor. I would write books. I would sort of do what the traditional sort of PhD student hopes to do at the end of their time in grad school. But then, you know, I passed my orals right in 2008 when the big economic crash happened. And I looked around and I thought, well, this is going to be a very hard terrain to navigate in the future. I wonder what could I do? What could I do different? Will I get a job at the end of my time at the Graduate Center? I reassessed everything I was doing, and I looked at my life and I realized, you know, I was working part-time in an archive at the Gilder Lehrman Collection, which is located inside the New York Historical Society. And for them, I was doing a lot of cataloging, processing of archives. You know, I was working like 15, 20 hours a week to make ends meet. I really enjoyed that work. My wife is a librarian. I was studying book history and all these things that just sort of struck me like, I really love librarianship, but I'm doing that partly. I really care about it. At CUNY, there's a library school at Queens. I lived right down the street from it. So it's just sort of this like congruence of my interests came together at this time when, you know, there was this challenging economic environment, which made me want to go into librarianship, which I'm very glad that I did because it gave me lots of different options. And I think it really suited me more. So, I mean, I had a great time at the Graduate Center studying for the PhD, writing the dissertation. You take that deep dive and that sort of very narrow sliver of a topic you're working on, you make that impact that way. But in librarianship, I have to think much more as a generalist, and I get to take on different topics and different ideas. And that really got me excited, the sort of notion of just going a little bit wider in my academic work than just what I would be doing if I was just studying history of the book in the early American Republic for the next 40 years, which would have been a great life, don't get me wrong. But I really like this notion of like figuring out new problems all the time and helping people get the answers that they want or need.
So I'm also in the history department, and I have questions about what sort of jobs I want to get with the current academic job market. I have aspirations to become a full-time professor. I'm currently teaching at the College of Staten Island, but the market is difficult. So it's very compelling to hear about these alternatives. And it seems like you kind of had your kind of foot already in the door, or in a way that you were exploring this option while you were in school, like working in the archives, and then a world historical event happened with financial crisis.
Yeah.
That spurred a sort of a change, a shift in mentality. Oh, maybe I have to pursue something else. Maybe this steady path to being a professor is not as readily available. What can I do? So you were already kind of working in libraries, working with books, and you saw this opportunity, and you continue to get to work with history, but rather than having this more narrow focus, you can expand it and work with books more generally. So you were kind of already heading in that direction, but were there any other career paths that you considered?
No. So when I was in graduate school, it was either professor or librarian, and librarianship sort of just won out. And I stuck to that from the get-go. So I had to work, you know, I passed my oral exams and I had to start again. I started library school right after that. So I was doing two programs at once. It was a kind of a big lift at the time. So, you know, I was paying tuition to go to library school. So when I dove into that, I went in for real. And the librarianship is just a much easier sort of, I think, a sort of, there's more options in the field. I had much more opportunity to decide where I wanted to live. I was able to stay on the East Coast because I was involved with librarianship. So I didn't consider anything else, but, you know, before I started at the Graduate Center, I worked as I worked at a financial firm doing research. I worked as a journalist for a year. I worked at a museum for the year. So the reason I knew Rufus King was because of some time I spent working at his house in the education department there. That house is in Queens, Jamaica. So I sort of did these sort of different things, and then realized, you know, I think a lot of what I care about, public history, you know, working with original documents, collecting, all this stuff sort of comes together the best way for me in librarianship.
So you had all these experiences before you ended up at the Grad Center, but once you were there, you saw two paths. I could become a professor or work in librarianship. And as events culminated more and more, you were pulled in that direction and aligned with the sort of research that you had, and you'd already kind of, you've hit on this question already somewhat, but I think it's worth expanding on it. Like, what role did the Graduate Center have in your intellectual development? And how did your experiences at the GC transform you into the associate director of collections that you are today?
Yeah, sure. So look, the Graduate Center was essential to everything I'm doing right now. So, you know, like I mentioned earlier, the independent study I did with Marty Burke, it just sort of opened up a whole new way of thinking about history to me. I might have found that eventually, but finding it with him and doing that work really sort of moved my interest in a big direction, which has sort of led to where I'm at today. But, you know, the Graduate Center also, you know, offered me lots of opportunities. Like, because I was at the Graduate Center, I had opportunities to teach all over the city. You know, I taught altogether something like 10 classes when I was in graduate school. It helped me become a better public speaker. It helped me to be a lot more confident in front of people. Right now, in my job, I have to speak all the time. I have to learn things really quickly. So often I'm asked to talk about, you know, a topic of a donor who, a topic that interests a donor who is coming tomorrow. So can you get together a batch of documents and wow this person to help us woo them and, you know, get them interested in our institution. The Graduate Center helped me do that. I learned how to just, you know, analyze texts quickly. I learned how to sort of like what we call gut the book. I can gut a book really fast. I can sort of figure out what I need. I learned how to do great research at the Graduate Center. I also learned how to write in a really serious way there. Like I can write a large dissertation. I can write an article. All of those skills helped me as a librarian all the time. So, and then, you know, I just, the really wonderful friends I made there and the network I made there as well. I still tap into the people from my cohort all the time. Without the Graduate Center, I would not have had the basis I would have needed to become, to get to where I'm at today.
So the Graduate Center provided a lot of resources and a network that you could work with, the experiences that you had with your advisor and the work that you did together, like on focused on book history and history of reading and the use of books politically by Rufus King. So you kind of took that as well as the teaching experiences that you had over the city, developing skills like public speaking and connecting with students. And now you're connecting with other people who are attending events that you're leading, and the sort of research skills, breaking things down, turning works into something that you can translate for other people who are listening to you or in some capacity or another. So you, the Graduate Center prepared you in a lot of ways, but anytime that you're starting a new career, there's obstacles. So what were some of the challenges you encountered as you transitioned from graduate school to your career in librarianship?
Yeah, sure. Quite a bit. I'd say, you know, the Graduate Center made me a good academic. I can do all of that. I know historiography. I know how to do research. But when I graduated, I had my library degree already. I finished the PhD. My first job was as the American History Librarian at Yale University Library. And so I covered several departments, African-American Studies, American Studies, and American History for them. The thing at Yale is I was often working with people who wanted to study the 20th century. I'd say probably 75% of the grad students in American History at Yale were studying 20th century topics. So here I am, you know, book historian. My main interests are like, you know, colonial period, you know, early Republic period. And I have to learn how to help people on topics that I'm less familiar with. So I had to sort of do a lot of learning to be this generalist I mentioned about earlier. So that was kind of a big challenge for me, is sort of just the vastness and the diversity of topics that I had to help with. I was able to do it. You know, it was kind of like dizzying at first, but then I got much, much better at it. And of course, being at a school like Yale with all its resources, you know, every database you could ever want is there. You know, their microfilm room is endless. With some effort, I was able to sort of get there. You know, I worked there for 3 years, and then I wanted to move forward in my career. And the one thing I wanted to do was manage people or to be in charge of something. I'd say a challenge for me was I just never had that experience before. Graduate school gives you a lot of really great things, but just that sort of day-to-day working with people and managing them and helping them get their goals taken care of and the things they're working on resourced, that kind of thing. And seeing through all those problems, I had to sort of learn that on the fly. I had to, you know, someone had to trust me to do that. And I had to learn on the job how to manage people, which is the biggest part of what I do today. So at the APS, I'm the Associate Director of Collections. I oversee 4 different departments with 15 people in them. I have 5 direct reports. So like that takes up a huge part of my day, which was something I never learned about in academia. So those sorts of challenges have been hard. So I've been doing this for about 10 years. It's taken me some time to sort of get to where I'm at because just trying to figure it all out. But, you know, over time I did. I mean, I had some really good mentors who helped me along, and then people who, you know, took a chance on me and gave me an opportunity to learn as well.
So even though you finished grad school, learning never stopped.
That's exactly right. That's exactly
right. The journey continued, and you had to work with students who were focusing on something that was different than your area of expertise. So you had to expand your knowledge and work with documents different way, understand the library. So that's like one challenge you face. And then beyond that, kind of you don't learn to manage people in graduate school. I mean, the closest thing that comes to that is maybe teaching in a classroom and managing the expectations of your students and grading their work and dealing with them in meetings and things like that. But they're not working for you. It's a different sort of relationship. So you had to kind of learn how to do that on the fly. And I could understand that being a big challenge. So what would you recommend to current graduate students interested in pursuing a career working in librarianship?
Yeah, well, I would say it's a wonderful, wonderful career, at least for me. I do wonderful things every day. I get to see things that, you know, if you would have told my 15-year-old self that I would be seeing some of the things and being able to handle some of the materials I do, I'd be just astounded. But to get into this world, I'd say you have to have you have to sort of gain some experience, you know. So graduating with a PhD is very helpful in a library, but most librarians have a master's in library science, and there's special skills they learn in school and getting their master's degrees that helps them do their job right. And there are sort of ways things are processed. There are just sort of, you know, the ins and outs of a library. It's an apples and oranges kind of thing in some ways from academia. So I'd say I would recommend really taking some time to, you know, get involved with the library, you know, working part-time or volunteering. You know, we We get applications from recent PhDs all the time. And what we really look for when we look for the when we look at those applications is if is this a field that someone really wants to work in? Do they show some passion for it? Do they show some big interest? Because really, what I do is a service job. I'm not given time to write at my work at my job. I'm not given, you know, leave time to do any sort of writing. They really love it if I do, and it's going to be praised if I do. But that sort of notion of working for yourself to sort of put your ideas forward sort of takes a back seat. And, you know, you're not, you know, when you deal with collections on the back end and process them, it's not the same as the enjoyment of research and taking all that information and then interpreting it for yourself. What I really like to see when I deal with new PhD students and they apply to jobs here at the APS is that they've had at least a little bit of experience and have shown some effort to try to break into the world in some way. It doesn't have to be immense, but just some aspect of that.
So academics need libraries, but libraries are very different than working in academia. It's a whole different process. And I think, there's a lot that needs to be done in order to prepare yourself if you want to make that sort of transition into a different career. It's more about, rather than diving into research for your own and writing for yourself and kind of testing your theories, you're helping other people do their research and find the documents that they need.
Yeah.
So I just want to thank you again so much for appearing on Alumni Aloud. And do you have any final word for our listeners?
Well, you know, I'd say please come down to Philadelphia and visit the Philosophical Society. It's a wonderful place. You know, we have the papers of Ben Franklin, the Lewis and Clark journals. We have one of the biggest, history of science collections in the country. It's really fantastic. So if you're interested in coming down, please let me know. You can find me on our website.
That sounds great. I'll definitely try to check it out. So thank you so much again for joining us on Alumni Lab.
Yeah, no problem, Jack. Thanks for having me.